Greetings, listeners. My name's Andrew, and with me is Bevan Ramsden. In this podcast produced by IPAN, the Independent and Peaceful Australia Network, we discuss the Independent Public Inquiry into AUKUS, which is raising community awareness about this ill-conceived and dangerous so-called security treaty.
The commissioners for this inquiry include former ALP Government Minister Peter Garrett, retired Admiral Chris Barry, former Western Australian Labor Premier Dr. Carmen Lawrence, Yakandajara woman Karina Lester, and Liani Minchell of the Australia Institute.
Public hearings are scheduled for Port Kembla, Sydney, Fremantle, Canberra and Adelaide. The Melbourne hearings were held on June 11th. Hundreds of written submissions have been received and the inquiry is open for submissions until September the 1st. We encourage listeners to make a submission, which can be done by pasting AUKUS Public Inquiry into your browser and following the prompts. The more the merrier, as they say.
At the Melbourne hearings, former Foreign Minister Gareth Evans argued that the AUKUS submarine deal was fundamentally misconceived from its inception. He questioned whether the agreement serves Australia's national interest and warned of the strategic and financial risks resulting from locking Australia into US military ambitions. Other contributions made at the Melbourne hearings can be accessed via the AUKUS Public Inquiry website.
We have also made a submission and would like to share with our listeners the key points and arguments.
We will show that there are many sound reasons for opposing AUKUS and cancelling it, as can be done through the Naval Propulsion Agreement by giving 6 months' notice.
Firstly, the 8 nuclear-powered hunter-killer submarines are neither necessary nor suitable for Australia's territorial defence. Former South Australian Senator and submariner Rex Patrick has said that a fleet of 20 air-independent-powered subs would be more stealthy, easier and cheaper to maintain, free of radiation hazards, and would cost $30 billion. Or 8% of the $375 billion projected cost of the nuclear-powered subs. Such vessels are presently available from Japan and Sweden.
An argument used by nuclear submarine proponents is that they are needed for defence of Australia's territorial waters. However, Australia's territorial waters are in many places too shallow for the large, noisy nuclear-powered submarines to operate in safely and without detection. If submarines are needed for defence of our territorial waters, the smaller, air-independent vessels mentioned by Rex Patrick would be far more suitable.
Another argument used by advocates of the nuclear-powered submarines is that, because our economy is heavily dependent on maritime trade, we need them to keep shipping lanes open. They say that nuclear-powered submarines capable of operating in distant deep waters are needed to assist the US in maintaining so-called freedom of navigation in the South China Sea.
This is a real furphy. No one is threatening to block or impede freedom of navigation in this waterway. Least of all China, which needs the shipping lane open for its extensive maritime trade with the world, including Australia.
Advocates for the AUKUS submarines also claim that we need them to help prevent adversaries blocking maritime choke points, such as the Strait of Malacca or the Strait of Hormuz.
That argument is easily dispensed with. If the United States, with its massive aircraft carriers, hundreds of aircraft, warships and nuclear submarines, can't prevent Iran using land-based missiles and drones to close the Strait of Hormuz, how could a handful of Australian nuclear subs keep such a choke point open?
The advocates for Australia purchasing these nuclear-powered submarines can't muster a serious argument for these submarines being necessary for the defence of Australia's territory and trade interests.
The second reason for cancelling AUKUS is that it requires Australia to provide port and maintenance facilities for United States and United Kingdom nuclear-powered and possibly nuclear-armed submarines, which will make Australia a certain target of retaliatory missile strikes in the event of the United States engaging in hostilities.
$8 billion of taxpayers' money is being spent to provide port and maintenance facilities for US and UK nuclear submarines at HMAS Stirling on Garden Island near Rockingham in Western Australia. In 2025, the ALP government, with coalition support, passed a bill authorising the use of taxpayers' money to provide housing in Rockingham for 1,000 US naval and contractor personnel involved in the AUKUS submarine project. This at a time when scarcity of affordable housing is a major issue for Australians.
Thirdly, AUKUS undermines a crucial aspect of our national sovereignty, the ability to independently decide if, when, and against whom we will go to war. This is because of the 8 nuclear-powered hunter-killer submarines, 3 are to be purchased second-hand from the United States, and the US Congress has made it clear that it will expect these subs to participate in any United States instigated war and be subject to US orders. It is thus obvious that the purchase of these subs is extremely foolish and could well lead to Australian involvement in a war such as against China, with catastrophic consequences for our people and the world.
A fourth and very serious reason to oppose AUKUS is that it will require construction at HMAS Stirling of a storage facility for low-level nuclear waste from the nuclear submarines. This will expose port workers and nearby residents to radiation exposure in the event of leaks or accidents, and will leave future generations with the responsibility for dealing with intractable radiation hazards lasting for centuries.
Greens Senator David Shoebridge has found out that intermediate-level nuclear waste could also be stored at this location. A storage facility will also be needed for high-level radioactive waste from worn-out reactors and their spent fuel. No country has yet devised a method for the safe, centuries-long storage of such highly dangerous waste.
In preparation for foreign and Australian nuclear-powered submarines berthing at Australian ports, a civil authority, the Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Agency, ARPANSA for short, has analysed the dangers of a radiation leak or accident in a nuclear zone and the emergency responses required. In what ARPANSA refers to as a scenario reference accident, all persons in the first danger zone, 600 metres around an accident site, would be evacuated and given iodine tablets to reduce the likelihood of thyroid cancer.
In zone 2, 2.8 kilometres around an accident site, all workers and local residents could be ordered to evacuate, with children being required to take iodine tablets. They could all be required to attend a decontamination centre for medical treatment. And because wind can extend the spread of radiation, a third zone is defined as extending between 2.8 and 15 kilometres. Depending on wind strength and direction, people in this zone could also face radiation exposure.
The Australian Naval Nuclear Power Safety Bill of 2023 declares Garden Island in Western Australia and the Osborne Naval Shipyard in South Australia to be nuclear zones, areas in which the scenarios determined by ARPANSA would apply. Osborne Shipyard is being prepared for the building of SSN-class nuclear-powered attack submarines to a British design which is yet to be started.
AUKUS Pillar 2 ties Australian defence manufacturing and research into the United States armaments industry, a parasitic arrangement in which the United States will be the main beneficiary. It entails an expansion of the military-industrial complex in Australia, dominated by United States and other foreign corporations, and sucking up scarce Australian public and private capital.
The US wants its allies to help manufacture the munitions and war equipment it needs, as Minister for Defence Procurement Pat Conroy has said. Australia is to manufacture 4,000 missiles, not just for our needs, but for the use of the US and its allies. This is AUKUS Pillar 2 in action.
AUKUS undermines Australia's commitment to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and the Treaty of Rarotonga, the South Pacific Nuclear Free Zone, as well as providing an impediment to Australia signing a treaty to prohibit nuclear weapons.
Some US nuclear-powered submarines are capable of carrying nuclear missiles. The US will neither confirm nor deny whether its submarines or aircraft are carrying nuclear weapons while on Australian territory, a position which Foreign Minister Penny Wong does not oppose, saying instead, "We understand."
Seems that the Australian government doesn't want to know whether or not United States or United Kingdom nuclear submarines or US B-52 bombers to be stationed at RAAF Tyndall are carrying nuclear weapons. This raises the appalling prospect that in the event of a United States-instigated war going nuclear, a nuclear strike could be launched from Australian territory.
An Australian government, as a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and the Treaty of Rarotonga, and in line with the Australian people's strong support for signing the Treaty for the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, has a responsibility to keep Australia free of nuclear weapons. Successive Australian governments over the past decade have not done so, and cancellation of AUKUS could help achieve this.
Finally, the enormous public expenditure slated for the purchase of up to 8 nuclear-powered submarines will severely compromise efforts to address urgent social security needs, such as fuel and food security, affordable housing, medical care, and measures to deal with the climate crisis, arguably the most pressing security issue facing us.
And that brings us to the end of this IPAN podcast. Good day and thanks for listening.